Thankful to have another opportunity to speak again. Unfortunately, Brother John is still not feeling well and has a headache this afternoon and is not doing well. So let's pray that he'll get a speedy recovery. I know this is continuing to make its rounds through the group here, and hopefully we'll all be over this soon. Thought we might study tonight concerning example of someone we don't hear about a lot in the Scriptures, but that of Jonadab, and how his situation applies to our lives as well. And it should remind us and serve as a reminder to us about the manner of lives that we're to live and that we're to be training up our children to be living. We don't read a lot about Jonadab in the Scriptures, but one of the first places that we do run across him is in 2 Kings chapter 10. So let's just, we get a brief glimpse here, and then we get much more later. But let's just see, this is an interesting account with Jehu, beginning in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 13. It says here, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, "Who are ye?" And they answered, "We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen." And he said, "Take them alive." And they took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them. And when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, "Is thy heart right? Is my heart, is with thy heart?" And Jehonadab answered, "It is. If it be, give me thine hand." And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into the chariot. And he said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So they made him ride in his chariot. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah. And Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, "Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal, all his servants and all his priests, let none be wanting. For I have a great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be wanting, he shall not live." But Jehu did it in subtlety, to the intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. And Jehu said, "Proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal." And they proclaimed it. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came into the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. And he said unto him that was over the vestry, "Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal." And he brought them forth, vestments. And Jehu went, and Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, "Search, and look, that there be here with you none of the servants of the Lord, but the worshippers of Baal only." So this is the account that we should be familiar with, where Jehu goes and destroys the house of Ahab. And then he goes and roots out all of the Baal worshippers in Israel. But it's interesting to note here that one of the ones that was right there with Jehu when he was doing this was this man named Jehonadab. And as Jehu said, "Come and see my zeal for the Lord," we see that Jehonadab also was zealous for the Lord. And he was right there with Jehu as they were going to destroy Baal worshippers from out of Israel. And so we want to look at the account that we have in the Scriptures of Jehonadab, particularly of his descendants many years later, and look at the manner of life that Jehonadab had commanded his family to follow. If we turn to Jeremiah 35, we'll see that the Lord brought a test upon the descendants of Jehonadab a number of generations later. Jeremiah 35, we'll begin in verse 1 and look at this test that the Lord brings to these Rechabites. In verse 1 it says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink." So the Lord here sends Jeremiah to go and bring these children of Rechab in to the chambers and to give them wine to drink. And so in verse 3 it says, "Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites. And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall you build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us, to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. So we see here that Jehonadab had given commandment to his family many generations earlier. And they tell Jeremiah here the things that they had been commanded of Jehonadab. He said, they said there in verse 6 that he had commanded them not to drink wine, not to build houses, not to sow seeds or plant vineyards, that they were to live in tents all of their lives on this earth. And he says, in the land where you be strangers. And they made it very clear to Jeremiah there in verse 8, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us. So they had done everything for all of these generations that of what Jehonadab had commanded. And so now they were being presented with this thing that was one of the very things that he had commanded them not to do. And they were presented to do this by Jeremiah. And they said, we've been keeping this charge that we've had all of these generations, and we cannot do this. And so they go on. In verse 9 it says, I'll read verse 8. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, and all that he has charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in. Neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us. But it came to pass, when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came into the land, that we said, come and let us go to Jerusalem, for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. And so we dwell at Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instruction and to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none, but obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me. So it's very interesting here how the Lord specifically uses this example against the children of Israel. So he gathers these children of Jonadab. And of course, the Lord knew what their hearts were and how they were going to do in this test. But he gave them this test nevertheless. And they passed this test. And he holds this up as an example for the rest of Israel. Here the Lord had said he had been trying to get Judah to turn and to do right. He said there in verse 14 that he had spoken to them rising early, but that they would not hearken. They would not listen to the Lord and his admonition to them. And yet here were these good examples that we see in the children of Jonadab, who for many, many generations had taken those words from Jonadab and passed those words and commandments down through many generations, and continued to be very faithful in keeping those words. And the Lord was holding them up as to Judah as an example to follow. If we continue on to verse 15, it says, I have sent also unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them. And you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandment of their father, which he commanded them, but this people has not hearkened unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, but they have not heard. And I have called unto them, but they have not answered. And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he has commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Well, that's a pretty great blessing from the Lord here, isn't it? That he said that the house of Jonadab would not fail to have one that would stand before the Lord. Of course, why was that? That was because they had proven themselves to be faithful in keeping the ways that they had been given to follow. And we need to consider this example. You know, the Lord specifically held up Jonadab to the Israelites as an example. You should be following me as these children of Jonadab have been keeping and faithful to keep his commandments for all of these generations. And the Lord is blessing the house of Jonadab for doing this. And so we need to consider that example. There's many similarities here to what we read about in Genesis with Abraham, and how Abraham also commanded his family. We might remember Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, and what the Lord says here about Abraham. He says, for I know him, I know Abraham, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So just as we saw how the Lord blessed the house of Jonadab, here we see he knows Abraham. What did he know that Abraham was going to do as well? Well, he said, I know that he will command his children and his household, and that they will keep, and that word keep there is literally the word to guard. They will guard the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And so the Lord blessed Abraham because of this. And we need to consider these examples that we also need to be, as parents, we need to be teaching our children and following this, these good examples that we have in Jonadab, that we have in Abraham and others, how they commanded their children to keep the way of the Lord and to guard that way and protect it and to make sure that that way continued on for generation after generation. Even, we saw that test that was given them there by Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, we might, as we read earlier in Jeremiah 35 and verse 8, they were very clear when they were presented with that test. They said, thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he has charged us. So just as Abraham had commanded his house to follow the Lord, they were very diligent to keep those commands, even many, many generations later. And so we realize they didn't just view that as something that was small in their eyes. This required them to change their entire manner of living. Remember, what were some of the things that the Lord had told them to do? Well, not only did they not drink wine, but they also were to not live in houses. They were to live in tents throughout their generations. And so they did that, and it required a sacrifice on their part to do that. They changed their manner of life from that day forward that Jonadab had given them those commandments. It affected their daily lives in many, many aspects. We could all imagine how it would be if we up and left our houses and went to start living in tents. That would dramatically alter how we lived our daily lives. But yet, They were willing to do this because they were going to keep the commandments of the one that had the authority over them and that gave them this way to follow after. And so we ourselves also need to view the Lord and His ways similarly, that we understand that it requires a different manner of life than what we find in the world around us, and that we are willing to leave off that manner that we formerly had, and that we are to follow in the way of the Lord. We also need to be thinking ahead. Let's turn to Psalm 78. The Lord wants us to think way ahead. Here we'll see He wants us to be thinking two generations ahead. Let's see what I mean by that here as we read Psalm 78. Here He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with the Lord." And so we ask the question then, are we thinking two generations ahead? Well, what do we see here? They were showing their children the praises of the Lord, His strength, His wonderful works. What was their aim in teaching these things to their children? Well, it was not only so that their children would walk in the right way, but what does it say there in verse 6? It says that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. So the intention of teaching these commandments to their children was specifically so that they would grow up and teach these things to their children. We need to have that same approach as well as we are teaching our children and our grandchildren. It's not just for their sake, but it's for the sake of the generations that come after them. And we need to be teaching them that principle as well, that this is something, this is a way of life that the Lord wants all of us to live. And we need to be guarding this way and making sure that we're all continuing to follow this generation after generation, just as the children of Jonadab did. We see here that what were they being taught to do? In verse 7, it says that they might set their hope in God. In verse 8, he says, on the other hand, the ones that were around them, their fathers, he says, did not set their heart aright and their spirit was not steadfast with God. So they're trying to make sure that they're not walking in that past manner, but now that they're setting their hope in God. And that's what we need to be instructing our children and the generations that come after us, Lord willing, to be doing as well. That they would receive the instruction from God's Word and walk after that way that we find in His Word. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 now. This is a bit of a long reading, but it's so full of things that we need to keep in mind concerning instruction, concerning the way that we need to be going and that we need to be training up our children to go. And so we'll read most of this chapter. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." So he begins there in verse 1 by saying, we need to hear the instruction of a father. Verse 2, he says, "For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. You know, we're reminded here in verse 10 of these Rechabites, how that they kept these sayings of Jehonadab and how they were going to be rewarded by the Lord. He said that they would not fail to sit before him. Well, notice what he says there in verse 10. Hear, O my son, receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. He goes on in verse 11. He says, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. So we see the direction being given here in these verses to how careful we need to be to not enter into the path of the wicked. We're surrounded by those that are going down this path of the wicked. And we see this warning over and over here to not go into that path. That we are to pass by it, turn from it, and pass away. Verse 16, it says, For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Here we see again this word keep that means to guard, and we see how, as we read earlier, that Abraham had commanded his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord, to guard that way. Well, here he's telling us we need to guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. And this is something that we need to constantly be doing. Verse 24, he says, Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyelids look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. So notice in verses 24 and 25, we need to be careful what we hear, right? He's not necessarily talking about, or he shouldn't be talking about the one here as having a froward mouth, but when there are those around us that have froward mouths and perverse lips, what do we need to do? We need to put those things away. We need to not hear those things. We need to turn from those influences. And verse 25, to let our eyes look right on and straight. Now, don't veer off into these other ways. Verse 26, he says, Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So we always need to be pondering. We need to be considering our path. Where are our feet taking us? If I continue in this direction, is this what the Lord wants? Or does he want me to go in a different way? And we need to be constantly considering the path of our feet, using God's word as that basis that we use to ponder, to consider where we're going. In Proverbs 13 and verse 22, he says here, A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You know, when we're training up our households to follow in the way of the Lord, when we're providing that instruction to turn away from these evil influences and to follow the Lord's way, as we mentioned earlier, you know, we're not just training the children, we're training the children to train their children, that this is a manner of life, this is a way of life that the Lord wants us to continue to go in. And so there is that spiritual inheritance that we leave for our children's children if we're doing what the Lord wants us to be doing. We read this recently in one of our studies in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Proverbs 6 and verse 23, he says here, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So as we ponder the path of our feet, we can use God's word as the light to show us where are our feet taking us here. Is this the right path that I'm going on, or do I need to go in a different way? And so we need to have God's commandment. We need to have his words and be considering what those words are showing us and taking those reproofs that we receive from his word and making those adjustments as we need to so that we can be faithful. In chapter 10 of Proverbs, in verse 17, it says here, "He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth." So we do need to accept these reproofs that we receive from God's word. This is the way of life. It's the way of life in this life, and it's the way of eternal life after this life. And so we do need to be keeping this instruction that we receive from the Lord. And of course, we see how the Rechabites followed that instruction of Jonadab and how the Lord rewarded them because of that. And he held them up as an example for the rest of Judah to say, "Well, why are you not like these children of Jonadab that are faithful generation after generation in keeping my ways?" There are few that are going to be able to find this narrow way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, he tells us this plainly. He says here, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." This is a very narrow way, and as we saw earlier there with Jonadab and his family, looks like most of Judah was not following the way of the Lord, and the Lord was going to bring punishment against most of Judah, and he was holding up this one family who were the descendants of Jonadab as the ones that were being faithful in what they were told to do. But most of the ones there in Judah were not. And we see a very, very similar situation today. And this has always been the way of the Lord's people, is that there are few that are going to find this way and stay on this way that leads to life. And that, of course, we want to all be diligent to be on that way, but we need to understand, well, to stay on that way, we have to be diligent to continue to receive this instruction and to be providing this instruction for our children and for the generations that are coming afterwards. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we see here also and are reminded that this is supposed to be our manner of life. These are not just things that we come and we do when we come together as the church on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever we assemble together. But this is the things that we receive from God's word are supposed to affect our entire manner of life. Every day, every minute of every day should be for him and for serving him. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 13, he says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." So we see here in verse 13, he starts out by saying, "Gird up the loins of your mind." So it's as if we're going into battle here. Gird up your loins. Strengthen yourself. Well, how is it that we need to strengthen ourselves? Well, he says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." This is a spiritual battle that we are going to be fighting. And he says we need to have our minds determined that we're going to do the Lord's will. We talked about that some in our class this morning, how we need to be setting our minds to do the Lord's will and not our own will. But here he says, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you. And then he goes on to say we need to be obedient children, not walking in that former way that we were going, but we need to be holy. As our Heavenly Father is holy, we need to be holy. There in verse 15 he says, in all manner of conversation. It needs to affect all of our ways that we are holy and doing and living in the manner that the Lord wants us to live. And in verse 17, he says we need to pass the time of our sojourning. And that word sojourning means having a foreign residence. We need to be looking at this life now as us being foreigners. Just as Jehonadab had commanded his family to live in tents, to leave their houses and to live in tents, how would it be to live in a tent? Well, it would be like being a foreigner, wouldn't it? It would be a temporary, it would always feel like it was a temporary situation. And certainly that was by design, that Jehonadab had his family do that, that he did not want them to be attached to this world and the things of this world. And we have to be on guard for that as well, that we are not viewing this world as our home, but that we're looking forward to that heavenly home and realizing that this is a temporary place that we're going through now, and that we're really looking forward to being with our Lord for eternity. He also talks about this in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. He says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens beyond fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So we truly do need to consider the temporary nature of this world and how all of these things are going to be burned up and destroyed. And that we need to be preparing ourselves for that life to come, that we need to be holy. He says, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? 2 John chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, he talks about the, again, our manner of life and how we need to be walking. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. So notice how he describes their manner of life here, that they were walking in truth. And that needs to be describing all of us, that we are walking day by day, every day, according to God's truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. He goes on in verse 5, he says, and now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. We need to be walking daily in God's commandments and following the way that he has shown us through his word. We need to be walking in the way that Christ has shown us. He is the forerunner that has gone before us to show us the way to the Father. And he's shown us the manner of life that we are to be living. In 1 John chapter 2, and picking up in verse 3 here, he says, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. If we are in Christ, we need to be living as Christ lived, walking as he walked, as it says here in verse 6. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. This is one more place where we will read all of this chapter, because it is so full of things that describe the new life that we need to be living as Christians, in this new manner of life that we need to be following. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 3, let's consider all of these aspects of how we're to be living and how this should be affecting our daily lives. He says in verse 1, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So notice here how he's describing that we've put off that old man and that lived and walked in those old ways of the world, and that we've put on, as Christians, we've put on this new man that is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. He goes on in verse 12 to say, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." So we see here all of these things that we need to be putting off with that old man, and the manner of life that we need to be living as that new man that's been renewed in the image of him that has created us. We need to consider this newness of life, this new way of life that we as Christians have determined that we're going to live for our Lord. And we need to live those lives and be training our children and training them to train the generation after them to keep this way of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." We all need to be training our children to do these things and bringing them up, just as Jonadab did, to follow this specific way that the Lord has revealed through his word. And hopefully, as we do so, we'll be faithful as the household of Jonadab was faithful, and we'll also receive a reward from the Lord, just as they did when the Lord said that there would not lack a man to stand before him forever. And that's a pretty great blessing to hear that from the Lord, that there would not be one from our family to stand before him, to lack to stand before him. Let's conclude in Hebrews chapter 6 and remind ourselves that the Lord does take note of the lives that we live. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 says here, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, Surely Blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, it says here, God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. And so we have many, many good examples like that of Jonadab and Abraham and others that we see were very diligent to guard that way of the Lord and to continue to command their households and those generations that came afterward to continue in that way. And we all need to be working to do that ourselves and encouraged in knowing that the Lord sees our work and our labor of love that we have in doing these things, and that we will receive a reward for that if we're faithful unto the end. And so we want to consider that way that the Lord has shown us through His Word, and specifically through His Son, that Jesus is the way to the Father. And so we're getting ready to sing a song here in just a minute as an invitation, as a time for those that have not yet put on Christ in baptism, that have not yet begun to walk in that new life that we've been reading about, to consider that way that the Lord has set before us, that example that He's given us in His Son that shows the way to Him. We want you to think about that encouragement, that command that the Lord has given, that He wants all of us, all men everywhere, to repent, to have that different mind that says, I'm going to live my life for my Creator. I'm going to serve Him all of my days on this earth, and I want to be with Him for eternity. If that's your mind, we want you to consider that command that He's given us to obey His gospel and to put on Christ in baptism, to crucify that old man, washing away your sins, and to rise up to walk in newness of life, a life that will lead to Him. If you're subject to that invitation tonight, we would ask that you would all come forward as we stand and sing tonight.